Thank you. Good day, friends. Again, we are coming to our studies in the book of Jonah, and we're dealing with the reason why God chose Israel and their failure to fulfill their commission. Just as Jonah, in chapter 1, ran away from the commission which God had given to him, he walked the path of disobedience, and the result was at the end of the chapter, he ends under the judgment of God. Now, we were dealing in our last lesson with the fact that God chose and commissioned Israel to be his witness to the Gentile nations. He chose them for a purpose. I think sometimes people fail to realize that Israel was God's chosen people, but they were chosen for a purpose. And what was that purpose? Was it because they were better than somebody else? No. Because they were more than somebody else? No. As we were reading in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, chapter 14, chapter 26, chapter 32, we found out that God divided the nations according to the number of the people of Israel. And God revealed himself to Israel for the purpose that they should pass on the testimony to the Gentile nations. But instead of that, they became very, very exclusive. They wanted their God for themselves. These dogs of Gentiles, they would rather see them under the judgment and wrath of God. This is true of Jonah, true of the nation Israel. Now, speaking our last lesson of the fact that God chose them for a purpose. Now, you find this, of course, in Romans chapter 3, they were chosen to be the depository for the word of God, and you all know they were chosen to be the nation and the family through whom his son should come. So you have their failure. They failed to do the job that they should do. Now, when we come to chapter 2 of Jonah, we find Jonah in the belly of the fish. You remember in chapter 1, God had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. He didn't need to have any trouble about that. God in his sovereignty can do anything he wants to do. If he created the world by the word of his mouth, small thing for him to have a fish ready, prepared for this man Jonah, with a drawing room in the middle of him. And Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish. Now in chapter 2, we have a picture of Israel in the midst of the nations of the earth under judgment. Jonah is in the fish, and Jonah is, as far as the world is concerned, he's dead. He's out of circulation. He has no witness. He's under the judgment of God. Israel, since 70 A.D., when the Roman general Titus took Jerusalem and destroyed the city and butchered thousands upon thousands of Jews, and thousands also went into captivity, fulfilling, by the way, Deuteronomy 28, where Moses said, the time's going to come when you're going to be scattered among the nations of the earth. In the morning you will say, "Would to God it were evening." In the evening you would say, "Would to God it was morning." In fact, you would be sold as bondmen in Egypt, and nobody will buy you. Now, it's true that in the first 2 or 3 centuries of this era, Jewish slaves on the slave markets of Alexandria, Egypt, were so cheap, nobody would buy them. Now then, let's see what the Word of God says. Just as Jonah was not digested in the fish. Why? Because God was with him. Why wasn't he digested? Why didn't these various juices, digestive juices of the fish, take care of Jonah? No. God was with him in the fish. God has been with Israel down through the centuries. And by the way, you can't answer this question apart from the Word of God. Why hasn't Israel as a nation, why hasn't she been assimilated among the other nations for 1900 years? You come here to the United States of America. Here we are, a nation approximately 200 years of age. Just 200. And here we have millions of people, tens upon tens of millions of people. We've got all kinds of people being assimilated. Germans, French, Irish, English, Scots, what have you. All the nations of the earth, we've got them all right here. It's an amazing thing that for 1900 years, the Jewish people have been scattered among the nations of the earth and have not been assimilated. They have been murder-proof. They've been suicide-proof. Plans and plots have gone on through the centuries to get rid of the Jew. He's still with us. Why? God was with him in the fish, and God's been with Israel down through the centuries. You remember, it says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And yet, the fulfilling of God's word concerning Israel is true. For example, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 37, it says, now you're going to be a byword, a proverb among the nations. That's a rather remarkable word, that Hebrew word there, shene, is the word that's translated proverb, byword. You find it in Jeremiah chapter 24, verses 9 to 10. It's repeated. Wherever you go in the world, down through the centuries, this is the name they call the Jew, shene, or from the Hebrew word shene. I remember when I was a boy, we took great delight in catcalling the Jewish boys and girls, and all of us, irrespective of nationality, we call them shenies. Rather remarkable, isn't it? When I was crossing the Atlantic, for example, as a boy, young fellow, there were all kinds of nationalities on board ship, but there were also two or three Jewish people there. And every time they came on deck, immediately, didn't matter whether you were a German or a French or an Italian or an Englishman or a Scotchman or an Irishman, what do you call them? All had the same word, shiny, shiny. And it's what you have in the book. Moses prophesied and Jeremiah prophesied, when you are scattered among the nations of the earth, you will be a proverb, a byword, a shiny. And yet, in spite of that, he has retained his identity. In fact, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, verse 24, where God's purpose is yet to be fulfilled, when it says, you shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. You know, it's an amazing thing to me, and I mention it here, that Israel as a nation has been under Gentile domination from about between the 5th and 6th centuries, when they came under the domination of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, and so on. Then Medo-Persian, then Greek, and then Roman. And they've been under Gentile domination down through the centuries. And God's always been with them. God has always been with them. You know, I'm reminded of that verse in the book of Exodus, where God said to Moses in Egypt, I have seen my people. I've heard their groaning. I've seen what they've gone through, and I've come down to deliver them. When they were in Babylon, God was with them in Babylon. You remember that dear psalm which says, where the Babylonians said, sing us a song of Zion. And they said, how can we sing a song of Zion in a strange land? We've hung our harps on the willow tree. And God had his servant among them, Ezekiel, and he prophesied to them in Babylon, the remnant that went down to Egypt after the destruction of Jerusalem. Jeremiah went down with them. God always has a testimony. When they were in Persia, you have Mordecai and Esther. Even today, we have approximately 3 million Jews in Russia. They're on the heel of Russia. But God's with them. I don't care where they are. God's with them. And he eventually is going to work out his own purpose and plan. Indeed, just as Jonah said, salvation is of the Lord. The fish could no longer hold him. And the time's going to come when the people of Israel, according to the prophet Zechariah, it's going to be a repentant people. They're going to say, salvation is of the Lord. This is our God. We have waited for him. He shall say, this is my people. And just as sure as God was with Jonah in the fish, just so is God with Israel as it's been scattered among the nations of the earth. Now, let us go on. The third chapter. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. And he preached 40 days, and Nineveh shall be destroyed. Now, if in chapter 1 you have Israel called to a job, in chapter 2 scattered among the nations of the earth until 24 years ago approximately, when they've been gathered back to Israel. Not all of them, just a remnant has gone back to Israel. The greatest concentration of Jews today is not in Israel, it's in America, and then Russia, and then Israel. Then they're scattered throughout the earth. But they have their own nation, they have their own land, and they have their own parliament, their own kismet. Indeed, if I may digress for a moment, how close is the coming of the Lord for the church of Christ? Before he can again deal with Israel as a nation and put them in the place where they're going to be, the church must be taken from this scene, because God today is gathering a people for his name. If I may quote from the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And after this, after he's through gathering the church, I will return and build again the tabernacle of David which has fallen down, and build up the ruins thereof, that the rest of people might seek the Lord. And so on. You see, God is doing a purpose today. He's working out a purpose. What's he doing? He's gathering out a people, Jews and Gentiles, individuals. God today is not dealing with nations. Let me be very positive about that. God today is not dealing with nations. He is dealing with Israel, with individuals, whether Jew or Gentile. You remember in the book of Acts, three times in the book of Acts, chapters 13, 18, and 28, where Paul says to the Jewish people of his day, seeing you have judged yourselves unworthy of eternal life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And now for 1900 years approximately, God has been dealing with Gentiles, individuals, and the church is made up mostly of Gentiles. It's true, however, that individual Jews have come to know the Savior. In fact, I rejoice in the fact that today a great many individual Jews are accepting Jesus Christ as their, not only as their Messiah, but as their Savior. And they take their place in the body of Christ just as an individual Gentile. You see, distinctions disappear today. I, as a Gentile, accepted the Savior. I now become a Christian. A Jew accepts Jesus Christ as Savior. He becomes a Christian. You remember Paul wrote to the Corinthian church when he said, give offense to no man, neither to the Jew, nor to the Gentile, nor to the church of God. There are three groups today in the world. There's the Jew, the Gentile, the church of God. And when a Jew accepts a Savior, he's a Christian. He belongs to the church of Christ. When a Gentile individual accepts a Savior, he becomes a member of the church of Christ. He becomes a Christian. God today, I say, is not dealing with nations. And when people say to me, well, Mr. Mitchell, why doesn't God do something with the nations? Why doesn't God do something down there in Vietnam? Why doesn't God do something over here? My friend, listen. You ought to be happy that God is not dealing with the nations today. If he were, it would be in judgment. It would be in wrath. In fact, when you read the book of Revelation, after the church has been taken away, God begins then to deal with the Jewish nation and with the Gentile nations. And I want to tell you, I don't want to be on earth when God begins to deal with the nations of the earth in his wrath, in his justice, in his righteousness. In fact, the nations of the earth will never know what righteousness is except through the judgments of God. Isaiah 26 informs us of that. When thy judgments are in the earth, then the inhabitants thereof learn righteousness. Righteousness by the nations will never be learned except through the judgment of God. You take in this book of Jonah. It was the judgment of God upon Nineveh that brought them to repentance. Now I know in the book of Romans chapter 2, where Paul says to the unsaved Gentile, not knowing that the long-suffering of God leadeth to repentance. That is, God is long-suffering. He's holding back the forces of judgment in order for the individual to accept the Savior. In 2 Peter 3:9 I read, God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now let's get this thing very, very clear in our minds. Today, Israel as a nation is scattered among the nations of the earth. Suicide-proof, murder-proof. God is with his people. It is true that God chose them to be a witness to the nations. That's why he called them out. And like Jonah, they ran away from their commission. They did not want the Gentiles to come under the mercy, compassion, and grace of God. When we come to the fourth chapter, we'll see how God dealt with Jonah on that very, very thing. Let's not forget the fact that when God brought Israel into the land of Canaan, out of 400 years of captivity in Egypt, he brought them into the land for a purpose. The Canaanites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Hittites, they were in the center of the world, the ancient world. The Egyptians, in their great travels, came up through the land of Canaan into Assyria. Syria and Assyria into Babylon. Likewise, the Assyrians, they came on down through Damascus and down through Israel, or what we call Canaan, into the land of Egypt. And as they went through the land of Canaan, they picked up the diseases and the immorality and the idolatry of the Canaanites. Now, God sent Israel in there to cut out this cancer for the protection, the saving of the human race. And they were to give to the nations of the earth as they passed through their country the revelation of God. This they did not do. In fact, they partook of the cancer. And when you get to the book of Judges, not long after they get into the land, they're not only fighting their enemies when they first went in, but they began to fight among themselves, and they became idolaters. The tribe of Dan led them into idolatry. And they partook of the diseases of the people of the land. That's why God sent them into captivity, into Babylon for 70 years. And when they came back from Babylon, remember, they were never again in idolatry to this day. And they were delivered from moral corruption. My friend, this is history. Now, what is God going to do? So when we come to chapter 3, we have Jonah. In typology, at least, in type, he was raised from the dead after being 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish. Now he comes forth and is recommissioned to preach to the Gentiles. And in our next lesson, we shall take up chapter 3, what God is yet to do with the people of Israel. Now repeat it, in chapter 1, they were chosen, they were commissioned, and they ran away from their responsibility. In chapter 2, they are the judgment of God, and they're still under the judgment of God among the nations of the earth. But God still is going to restore Israel and recommission them, which we'll take up in our next lesson. And the Lord bless you today for his name's sake.